Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
What was the year 2017 like for you? How did it go? Did it go as you planned? A lot of people are thinking, no, not at all how I planned. Was it one filled with joy and peace? Was it a year filled with stress and anxiety? New Year's is often a time for making resolutions, taking time to figure out what we didn't do exactly how we wanted in this previous year, and as we start the new, we think, I need to try harder at that. Or maybe it's something completely new, something we haven't done before, and we say, I need to do this, and we get started on it. Maybe it's reestablishing broken relationships. Maybe it's a new exercise routine, trying to lose those pesky 10 pounds, or for some of us, pesky 30, 40, 50. I'm hearing 50. Do we have 60? Some here are looking for a new direction in your life. You may be a Christian, and yet you are secretly struggling in your personal daily walk with the Lord, and you're needing to make a change. Some of you are saying, I've been putting it off for too long, and I need to be a Christian. I need to be baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. If that's the case, you have opportunity to do that today. Part of this lesson this morning is going to be focused on our time, how we use our time. What we need to understand is today is it. Tomorrow is not here, and it's not promised. Today is the time you have to do the things you need to do. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 17 was read for us just a moment ago. And as he begins there in verse 15, he says, be careful how you walk. Be careful how you live. Be careful to do the Lord's will. God is eternal, and He created man, and He placed us on earth, and He put us in time. Time was created for us. There is a time limit for us. Time is one of those things that we all struggle with. And every year, we're given 8,760 hours to live. How will you live it in 2018? The Lord tells us to be skillful, to be wise, to be on guard, to be careful, to look very closely at how we live. Howard just mentioned a moment ago, as we were partaking of the Lord's Supper, how the Corinthian writer says to examine yourself. Hopefully, you've already done that. You've taken time to do that during the last few weeks. Normally, we have a little bit more time in the sense that we're not at work. And we have opportunity to spend time with our families, but we also have opportunity to reflect, to examine ourselves, to look at what we've done, what we've accomplished, what we didn't do in this year. And so we have opportunity to make those changes for next year. Our life has had a distinct beginning, and it will have a distinct physical ending. We're all going to die at some point. We don't know when that is. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we all have the same amount of time in each day. I remember one time getting ready for a Toastmasters speech. If you don't know what Toastmasters is, it's a group of people who like to speak. No. It's a group of people that are trying to get better at speaking publicly, of getting up before an audience and talking. And I rushed in getting my speech together. I had a busy week doing other things, and I was like, oh man, I'm speaking this Thursday, I gotta get something together. So I threw something together real quick, and it turned out good. It was all right. I had something to give, right? And they usually have someone get up afterwards that does a critique of your speech. They do it right then, right there, which is no fun. That's probably the hardest job of the meeting, is to do that. But he gets up and he looks at me and he says, "You didn't prepare that, did you?" He says, you weren't thinking about that last week or the week before. And my response to him afterwards was, you know, I just ran out of time. I just didn't organize things. And he goes, as soon as I said I ran out of time, he said, "That's funny. I had the same amount of time you did." Right? We're all given 24 hours in every day. The question is, how are you using that time? Are you using it wisely, or are you using it in an unwise manner? We'll get to that in just a moment. But in Psalm 90 and verse 10, the psalmist says, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Time marches on. It can never be slowed. It can never be stopped by you. Are there moments when you wish you could just say, I want to stop time right here in this moment and be here a little bit longer? But it just doesn't happen, does it? You can't make that happen. As we get older, and I know I'm only 32, but as I'm getting older, I'm recognizing how quickly the years just go by. It's not like it was when I was a kid. It seemed like the year took forever. Right? You're just like, when is school going to be done? When is summer going to be here? When can I do these things? An hour is too long, Mom, right? And there's this whining and complaining, and I'll be there in just a minute. Or, hey, it'll take just a second. What do they say? One. Where are you? Right? Taking things a little bit too literal. We can't slow it down. We can't stop it. It keeps pressing on. Who decides how you spend your time? You do. You decide how you spend it. Therefore, you need to make the best choice possible with how you spend your time. He says, be careful how you walk, how you live. No one receives more time than you in any given day. Now, there might be people that live longer or live shorter lives, but every day, there it is. We have that day, we have that time to use it. Be careful with how we use it, because it is limited. And there are time robbers, time stealers, or maybe better yet, time wasters in the world. When you think about the biggest time waster in your life, what is it? For a long time, it's been determined that TV watching, television, is the biggest time stealer, biggest time waster that there is. I don't know how good these statistics are. They're a number of years old, but back when this was given, it said that Americans watch TV 4 to 6 hours a day, or 2 months if you watched it nonstop throughout the year. Think about that. 4 to 6 hours a day equals 2 months of your life sitting in front of a TV for 1 year. That's amazing. But I'm not convinced that TV is the biggest time stealer today. For some of you, it still might be TV. But the problem is, we've got these computers in our pockets. And it's not just a phone, but it's got our email, and it's got Facebook, and it has TV on the phone. And I can sit and watch it wherever I am. It's got Facebook. I'm convinced Facebook can suck away time just as fast as TV can. Parents have meaningful conversation with their children about 38 minutes per week. And yet the child watches about 1,680 minutes of TV a week. That's the average statistic. What's going on there? How is that relationship going? We wonder why our relationships aren't the way they are, aren't the way we want them to be, and it's because, well, we're not spending time with one another. We might be sitting in front of the TV together, but are we truly interacting with one another? We need to get control of how we are spending our time. We need to strive for more spiritual emphasis, and we need to take a fast. How many times is fasting mentioned within Scripture? Well, within Scripture, it's talked about fasting from food, right? That's the main fast in Scripture. But I want to encourage you to, if you're going to fast from food, that's fine. But fast from what it is that's wasting your time. Take a week. Pick a few days. Whatever it is, fast from it. See how it goes. How does your life change? What do you do instead of that one thing? Is it giving you more opportunity to pray? More opportunity to read God's Word? More opportunity to spend with your wife or your husband or your children or your grandchildren? What is it doing for you when you fast from it? This is going to be one of those experiments that you're going to have to do the following week or whenever you choose to do it. But see what happens. And is it better? Does it make a difference in your life? Secondly, we need to choose time wisely. It's not just that we need to be careful with how we walk, but it's also the fact that we need to use our time wisely. Within this passage, it talks about making the most of the opportunity. Other versions, like the King James Version, I believe, has redeeming the time, right? Redeeming the times, because the days are evil. I think it's funny that word redeem being used with time, because it's talking about buying back time, right? And yet you can't buy that time back. But what does it mean? It means like what those other versions have tried to explain with a phrase, making the most of the opportunity, making the most of the time that you do have, because that time is fleeting. It was here now and it's gone the next, right? We have to choose to use our time wisely. I want you to notice wisdom within Scripture. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Oh, how we need God's wisdom in 2018. We need to focus on what He says. We need to glean from what He gives, because He truly is the giver of wisdom. He says here in this passage in Ephesians chapter 5 that the days are evil. We could sit and complain about all the bad things going on, couldn't we? We could spend all day doing that. We can talk about something the administration did, something this judge decided, something that's going on at the kids' school, or something that's happening in our own neighborhood, or boy, that news report last night was so depressing. Did you hear about that person that was shot? And we could just go on and on and on about how evil the days are. And yet here's what Paul is saying. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. There's all kinds of things going on around you. You have opportunity right now to make a difference, to live and to walk in Christ Jesus the way He wants you to. And as you live and walk in Christ Jesus, you're able to bring others to Christ. As you live and walk in Christ Jesus, your family notices your example and they see how you're living and they say, "That's a godly man. That's a godly woman. I want to be like them." And you're setting the example and not wasting your time and telling them, "Do what I say, not what I do." God tells us that fools despise wisdom and discipline. The question is, will you be like a fool? Will you reject the correction? Will you reject the wisdom that He gives? Or will you be wise and listen and accept it? We need wisdom to choose how to use time correctly. God says, living is wise and not as a fool. Redeem the time. Utilize the time. Do it prudently. When I think of wisdom or wise, I usually don't think of myself. When you think of someone that's wise or full of wisdom, do you think of yourself? No, not normally. You usually think of somebody else, or you think of God. And yet here you're being charged to live with wisdom. So you better make sure you gain it, and you grasp it, and you glean it from God and from His Word. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding." God gives it, including the knowledge and the understanding, and yet people are more than willing to reject it. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 and 31. It says, "Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurned my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes." Life is made up of the sum of choices that we make. And our heart determines them. We make those choices. Are you going to choose to be wise or choose to be foolish with your time? In Psalm 90 and verse 12, the psalmist says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Understanding that your time is limited is the beginning of this process of using your time wisely. Understand that it is limited. You know, I want you to think about this. As we live in this world, and especially within America, it's kind of natural for us to just want more things, right? We just want to buy more. We want to have more. But as we collect and grab more things, what happens? There's more choices. There's more things to do. Our kids just got, I didn't count the presents, but maybe Carly has a count. But there must have been at least 30 or 40. Or if you count 10 per kid, that's 50 presents, right? I mean, how many presents did they open on Christmas morning? All the kids just kept ripping open their presents, and Nolan was the one that said, "Oh, I'll play with this one for a bit." He opened up one and just sat in the corner and played with it. It was like Tuesday or Wednesday before he finally opened all of his presents. Right? There's too many choices. It was overload. As we gain and grab more things, it becomes more choices. It becomes more time wasted. When we have too much, there's too much to do and there's not enough time to do it in a day. And therefore, we're being robbed of our joy, we're being robbed of our time, and we are wasting it. Think about the choices that are involved in our life. You know, our commitments that we make. Obviously, we have our jobs and our work commitments, but then we have our commitments to our spouses, to our children, to our work. We have commitments here with our church family. It's not just the you know, coming together and worshiping on a Sunday. I mean, there's other commitments that we have that are involved here throughout the week. We have the leisure and hobby and all the different things that we do, and that's just the commitments we make. Then we have the possessions that we have, the cars. Some of us like to get a new car every 4 years. How about remodeling our home, wanting every new gadget that comes along every year? And along with these things just come more choices, more stress, less time. Think about information. We already talked about television. You've got CNN. You've got all these news channels. You've got the internet. You've got computers, you've got video games, DVDs, Blu-rays, 4K Blu-ray, DVDs. You know, it's just getting more and more new, fancy, all this stuff. And yet, when will it be enough? Can we look at it and say, "I've got too much"? It's time to clear things out. It's time to get rid of this so that I have more time to to spend with my family. I've got more time to spend with my God. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. As we bring all these things in to our homes, are we affecting our hearts? Are we placing our treasures here on earth rather than making sure our treasures are in heaven? Lord, teach us to number our days and give us a heart of wisdom, as the psalmist said in Psalm 90 and verse 12. Thirdly, this morning, we need to prioritize our life to God's will. That's what it's going to take. If we're going to be careful about the time, if we're going to be wise about the time, then the next process is, all right, time to prioritize. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. We live in a world bent on stealing, robbing, and wasting our time. And here Paul is saying, do not conform to the world. Don't give in to what the world presses you to do and to buy and to have. Instead, conform or be transformed to God's will. What is the most important thing in your life? I'm going to list off a number of things. I want you to listen to them and ask what's most important in your life. Is it education? Career, school, family, church, God, sports, fitness, money, character, others, fame, popularity, power, prestige, reputation, health, pleasures, leisure, possessions. How are your priorities? How are those things fitting in to how you're using your time or how you used your time in 2017? There's three types of people here this morning. First one is, some of you already know that your priorities are out of order, that you need to fix them, that you need to make some changes. Some of you feel pretty good about where your priorities are, and you're saying, you know, there's some room for improvement, but I'm pretty good right now. And other people are totally convinced that their priorities are just fine and that you've arrived. I want to ask you, please, take a look at how you're living your life. Is it right with God? Are you living it according to His will? Speaking of priorities, a group of friends went deer hunting and paired off in twos for the day. That night, one of the hunters came back with the deer, and he walks in, and the other hunter says, where's Larry? He said, well, Larry had a stroke. He said, what do you mean Larry had a stroke? Where is he? Well, I figured he wasn't going anywhere. I didn't want my deer to be stolen by somebody else, so I brought the deer back. Larry's still sitting there. I'll go back and get him later. He was worried about the deer instead of his friend, Larry. How can I prioritize my life to God's will? I want you to take a moment. You may have something to write with, you may not. If you don't, just do it mentally. What are the top four things in your life? Take a moment and think about that. Write down your priorities. What's the top four things in your life? There's going to be a test later. You're not going to be graded. But what did you put down first? Some of us might automatically think family. We might think of a particular person in our life that goes first. Did we put God first? Is He at the top of the list? Is He the one that we recognize we need to make sure we are living according to His will each and every day? We've got to realize our time is limited, that we need to use it wisely, and we need to get a handle on our priorities. I'm going to read one last illustration. And this is from John Maxwell's book, Developing the Leader Within You. A Middle Eastern mystic said, "I was a revolutionary when I was young. All my prayer to God was, Lord, give me the energy to change the world. As I approached middle age and realized that my life was half gone without my changing a single soul, I changed my prayer to, Lord, give me the grace to change all those who come into contact with me. Just my family, my friends, with that I'll be satisfied." It says, "Now that I'm an old man and my days are numbered, I've begun to see how foolish I have been. My one prayer now is, Lord, give me the grace to change myself. If I had prayed for this right from the start, I would not have wasted my life." There are so many people in this world that are looking at their lives and they're reflecting back and they're saying, what a waste. My challenge for you isn't for you to just get your priorities straight, but to make the changes needed so that when you get older, you're not looking back at your life saying, what a waste. Instead, as you get older, you can think, man, I've done some wonderful things for the Lord. I've done some great things in this world. I'm proud to have been a part of it. There's always going to be something to regret. We're not going to be perfect. But if you can look back at your life and say, at least I didn't waste it, that's going to be a lot better than looking back and saying, I wasted 70 years or 80 years of my life. Right now is the time you've got. If you need to make a change, make it. And this is a New Year's sermon, but let me tell you this. We've probably waited too long to make the change. We waited till the end of the year to think about what we needed to change for the next year, instead of in the moment recognizing I needed to make the change back then. Take opportunity now to reflect, examine, and live better. Live according to God's will. If you need to put on Christ in baptism today to make that change in your life, to remove sin from your life, to repent and start walking according to God's will, the invitation is for you. And if you're sitting there this morning, you recognize, I just need help changing one thing. And you recognize you cannot do it alone. That you need God and you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. The invitation is for you to come and ask for prayers. Ask for our help. That's what it's there for. And we don't sing this song thinking, boy, that sermon was long-winded. We sing this song hoping and praying that someone will make a change. Someone will start to live right, to do things right. If you need anything at all, please come forward while we stand and while we sing. I am resolved no longer.